The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And there was no more entrees once I got there. We're only snacky snacks. But yeah. I missed out on the meatballs. And so Gabe and I are sitting there at the table. And I said, I see some meatballs that somebody left over on that table over there.
Turns out that Stanley is quite the comedy fan. But not everything makes him laugh. He has very specific tastes. I found out what he likes.
What the?
You've been meatball.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you think I could go and eat those meatballs?
You could. I don't think you should.
Do you think anyone would judge me if I walked over there and ate the ravioli?
Was
they
there,
hadn't been touched. They
were just there.
Oh, are you ready for some meatball?
Oh, man. This is not very clever, Jim.
I know.
Look for your stapler.
What's a haul?
32 meatballs.
That idiot's been feeding us for a week.
We'll never have to buy meatballs again.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
It is so cold outside that Chewy... So again, Chewy wears a variation of the same thing every day. But on Wednesdays, and this is how long I've been doing the show, Wednesday is the day, like during the summer or spring, if it's nice out, it's a baseball cap that's backwards.
No, today's Tuesday.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So typically on Wednesday is the only day you wear a hat. And then during the winter, on Wednesday, you have some sort of stocking cap. Today, it is so cold out that you've decided to wear a stocking cap into the studio.
I didn't shower.
Okay.
We could smell.
I don't care. It was minus eight by me. It felt minus eight. The house felt a little cold.
Yeah.
So my protocol is to go out in the morning, turn the lights on, turn the coffee maker on, come back in. I'm like, I'm not showering. I'm freezing. So I went my Wednesday attire.
Wait, so you didn't... You didn't think the shower would, like, warm you up?
No, because when you get out, then that's the
true.
Tough part.
That is
and then
the
you got
part.
Wet hair, and it's like, eh. So I went with the heavy stocking cap. I wear it in the gym.
Oh, yeah. I didn't doubt that.
Do you wash it ever?
No.
It gets gross and sweaty.
You can't wash hats.
I mean, that hat you could.
You know, the Roebuck we got.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But mine pilled on me.
What does that mean?
You don't know what getting pilly is?
Does that? No, I'm afraid to ask now.
Well,
what?
Put it on the poll. I'm not going to tell you. Do people know what?
I have an idea.
When
of what
a garment
it
gets pilly,
my
I may be saying it wrong.
It's certainly possible, but I think it's funnier if we just don't even know.
It gets pilly.
All right, so we'll put it on the poll.
Do you know
at
what
Jen
getting
Chewy on Twitter? Do you know what? When what it means when a garment gets pilly. P-I-L-L-Y? Is that how we're going to spell it? P-I-L-L-I-E? Pilly?
I have no idea. But it got pilly.
You've been borderline useless the last 2 minutes.
And it was brand new.
All right.
Hold on another thing, because this is something my wife does, and I'm just totally on the other side of the tracks. When you get a new piece of clothing,
yeah,
do you wash it?
I do.
That's weak.
I do.
I'm actually with Chewy. I don't.
There's nothing better than putting
that first smell
the unwashed
garment
on.
With them. I've never once even thought about it.
But the very first wash, it came out pilly. I wonder if I could send it back. I wonder what I did. I didn't do anything. Washed it.
I don't know what getting pilly means. I've got like 5 Roebuck hoodies, and I absolutely love all of them. It's soft, comfortable.
Love them.
It's fantastic. I don't know what you did to yours to make yours pilly. I don't even know what that means.
Well,
but I just got a text from my sister saying that she knows what it means. So I guess you're saying it correctly. If somebody is correctly identifying it.
So let me ask you two now. It went pilly. Does it now become workout attire? I don't know if I can wear it.
I don't know what pilly means.
I don't know.
If I knew what it meant, I could answer any and all questions you have about the follow-up of what happens when something goes pilly. I could have all sorts of answers for you.
Well,
but if I don't know what it means,
call your sister during the break. I'd like to know how it became pilly.
Sheila from Milwaukee saying sweaters get pilly as well.
Why? Yes.
So people what apparently know pilly? What this means. We'll see if Jason knows what it means. We'll ask Jason when he joins us in about 10 minutes.
Is there anything that can happen to a garment that wrecks it for you? Like, stains don't even wreck it for me.
No, it just kind of becomes part of a different rotation, I would say, you know? Like
if my uni gets stain on it,
yeah.
I'm fine with it. You just roll with it.
Yeah,
pilly? Sure. No. I'm so upset.
So I don't know, again, what that means.
Okay.
But, no, like, if something, yeah, about the only thing is holes, then you got to get rid of it. Then you gotta discard it. I mean, depending upon what it is, you know how big the hole is. Like a little tiny small hole.
Gabe, I'm the uni, and the uni for me is shorts or jeans and a pullover, golf pullover.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you rip the tag off.
Yeah.
Down here.
Uh huh.
And it creates a hole.
Oh, that's fine. On the bottom.
I could still roll with that.
Oh, that's fine. That's just absolutely
under
fine.
The arm. Fine, you roll with it.
Yeah.
Anywhere else?
If you can hide the hole, then yes, you...
Like, I had a time, it was very bizarre. Like, my t-shirts, like, right by the belly button, was looking like mice got at it.
Okay.
And it wasn't mice. I have no mice. I don't think. You ever get that? Like, little holes right around the belly button.
Yes.
I'm like, what creates that?
Yes.
I'm mad because I figured out what pilly is, and it's kind of what I thought it was, and it's such a simple solution to fixing it.
What's the solution?
Do you want to know what pilly is, Gabe, or do you want to stay?
Yeah, I bring it in. I give it back to you, get me a new one.
There are people lining up on the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. So if I start to scroll through those, Ashton, I can figure it out really quickly.
Yeah, so a pilly means that it has like those little fuzz balls on it.
Yes.
Yes, and the easy way to get rid of that is, do you have a lint remover?
That doesn't work.
It doesn't?
They're too strong.
Okay, well, now I'm out.
Strong.
There's a comb, I don't know.
What'd you get, mutant pilly?
I don't know.
No, I think it's still wearable.
If it's pilly. Not a robot.
How pilly?
Yeah, so Sheila says it happens when fibers break down and clump up. So if
but
the fibers are breaking
new,
down,
but
that's
it's
not
brand,
great.
It's
yeah.
brands. It went from out of the package to my body to the washing machine to pilly. Should I be able to bring that back in?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Roback stands behind what they...
I would think.
Yeah, I think we can figure that out. Roback stands behind their product.
Okay.
Because it is that good. By the way, go ahead and just put this on the poll since Chewy brought it up, and now people are chiming in, like Justin in Milwaukee. You absolutely wash your clothes before wearing them. Do you wash your clothes before wearing them? Put that on the poll at Jen Gabe Chewy.
No.
Speaking of polls, there was one yesterday that Scalzo and Brust put up that was interesting. If Brian Gutekunst had a time machine, would he go back to last offseason and trade Aaron Rodgers?
You'd have to grow a set of balls. That's the whole problem up there. Right?
So it's easy for him to say yes, but then he would jump in the DeLorean, head back to the offseason of 2022, and still choke.
I'd like to ask the guy, was it a mistake?
Well, he's not going to admit to ever making a mistake. We've already gotten that far. I mean, Jason tried to get him to admit that he made a mistake with Davante Adams, and he couldn't get him. You know, he pretty much said he'd do everything all over again. He'd do it all the same.
But, and I probably would too, right? Guy's a two-time MVP. Even those MVPs weren't the strongest MVPs.
2020 was. It was a really good year.
Last year
kind of felt 2021. But, and I don't want to make it seem like he played bad, because he didn't. He was good. In terms of his MVP seasons, it was probably his weakest of the MVPs.
Yeah.
But it felt like, and I know Tom Brady and I know Peyton Manning have kind of had ones like this where you kind of look around and you go, there's no real like clear-cut MVP. And this guy's really good and he's played pretty well and his team's got the best record, so he ends up with the MVP. That's what it kind of felt like to me.
Like, I do not blame him, and you can't blame him. And probably 80% of the GMs out there would have done the exact same thing. The problem that's dumped in our lap now is you got to have a set and move on. Right?
Yeah, well, because the problem was, Chew, when you decided to commit to Aaron Rodgers, you had to, and I understand, it's the job of the general manager to balance winning for now, winning for later, unless you're the Rams and you just don't give a crap. But, you know, most general managers are trying to figure out, okay, how do I win now and then find a way to sustain that success for the future, right? Like, that's what most general managers try to do. And you do that by keeping your future assets, your first-round picks, second-round picks, your early picks, all those things. But when you commit to Aaron Rodgers and you have obvious weaknesses and holes in your roster, you've got to be a little more aggressive in terms of filling them. And it seems like Gutekunst is stuck in this world where he wants to build for a Super Bowl run in 2024 or 2025 and still have Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. But, like, you know, like, those two philosophies are just, they don't marry well together. So he's like, oh, I got Aaron Rodgers. Of course I had to commit to him, but now I'm still going to build as if we're going to try to win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers in 2026. And that's just not at all what this timeline looks like.
No. What was Philly 2 years ago? What was Philly's Wentz's last year?
Wasn't that when, like, Hurts started a bunch of games and then got benched, right? Towards the end of the year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that 3 years ago or two? Because they built that roster up pretty quick, and obviously finding a quarterback helps.
Correct.
I just don't even know if I see it now. If they do keep him a year from now, they'd be good enough to win it all. And I know we're going to talk about Gray leaving the team to take a job elsewhere.
So in Doug's last year, Carson Wentz is their quarterback, and Wentz obviously got hurt because that's what he does. They went 4-11-1.
How many years ago was that?
That was in 2020. Then last year they went 9-8.
That was Sirianni's first
Sirianni's first year. And then this past year they went 14-3. So they built it back pretty quick. Yeah, so they went from winning the Super Bowl in 17 to 9-7 records and making the playoffs and getting bounced in the divisional round, bounced in the wild card in 18-19. Bottoming out in 20, riding the ship in Sirianni's first year at 9-8, sneaking into the postseason, and then jumping forward.
The thing about the Eagles, though, I keep going back to this, like, when they won the Super Bowl, that was after they traded for Alshon Jeffrey. They traded for a receiver. They had a bunch of other really good picks. They had a good defense. And then they just did the same thing. They traded for A.J. Brown. They made good draft picks. They have Jalen Hurts start to become a star. And then, again, they have a good defense and offensive line. Like, they very seamlessly rebuilt their team. Or as Rodgers, this is a perfect example of what Rodgers is talking about. They reloaded. They did a couple of things.
They reloaded, yes.
But they made the tough decisions.
But they also bottomed out. You know, they bottomed out
right,
in 20.
But they had to have a pretty good base. They just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they
right?
had won the Super Bowl 3 years before. They yes. bottomed out. You know, they had lost their quarterback who they thought was going to be the QB of the future. They bottomed out, you know, but then because they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round, they decided to give him a chance. They have early draft picks because they went 4-11, so they're picking early in rounds, and they get guys like DeVonta Smith that compliment people like A.J. Brown when you go out and trade for him.
But, I mean, I think we can all say that Goody is closer to Ted Thompson than he is Ron Wolf.
100%. 100%.
Which is not, it's just, you're not going to get it done. Yeah, you're just not. Your stupid draft and develop and don't. Look at all these teams, like I mentioned yesterday, went out and made big moves that involved first round picks and,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. for existing players. I'm not saying
yeah.
in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time they ever did something like that?
Where they traded high capital for a player?
Yeah. We're giving up a first rounder for this pass rusher or defensive back or.
Brett?
Ever?
Brett.
Something has have to happen before that.
But, like, I mean, Ron gave up a first, and I can't think of them trading a first-round pick for anybody since then. Pretty sure they've made every... I mean, they've traded out of the first round, so they haven't necessarily made a first-round pick every year since then, but I can't think of, like, a big splash player that they acquired in the last 30 years for a first-round pick.
How about a total pivot? How about a Kansas City's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they got rid of the best receiver, and everyone thought they were kind of nuts.
But it's the same thing that Gabe said yesterday. They had a plan. Their plan was just, let's fill that spot with somebody a little bit cheaper, but that we can use their skill set.
They also had the best tight end in football, so...
Mm-hmm. Which Chewy's been saying that for probably 2 years now.
You need better tight ends. You lose Tyreek, but they still
become more balanced.
Yeah, and you make Travis Kelce your number one, and you spread it all around.
Look, Goody, I don't care if you copy someone.
It's copycat league.
But do something.
Everybody says it every year. Copycat league. Yeah, he's not going to do anything. That's just the way Brian Gutekunst works. We'll talk more about this. Plus, there is a Packers assistant that has jumped ship. We'll discuss that and more next with Jason Wilde. He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Doing well. If you have a garment or a piece of clothing that is pilly, do you know what that means?
Pilly. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's little fragments of fabric that have rolled up into tiny little balls all over your garments.
Yeah. See, most people apparently knew this. Ashton and I had no idea. Like, we thought Chewy was making something up when he was talking about
it. So, Jason, I just got a nice pullover from the station here. And it's great stuff. I've got probably five or six of them. And I wear my clothes right out of the package. I don't wash them. So I wore them, put it in, and it came back all pilly. And I don't think I can wear it anymore. But I don't know. I'm getting some good suggestions from our listeners. There's a tool you can use to get rid of it. But.
The tool for a tool.
That was good.
It's really got a sting for Ashy and Gabe that you knew something that they didn't, right? Like, for all the times they give you a Chewy was right.
I'm smarter than them, Jason. No, I mean, that's not really saying
Jason,
a lot.
Jason, this happens at least on average. Throughout the course of an entire season, I'd say it happens 1.5 times a week. Where he just says something that I think he's completely making it up, but turns out he's nailed it.
I agree with that.
That's quite a compliment, I guess. That
the king of useless information.
1.5 times per week.
That's good. Jason, Jerry Gray.
Yeah.
Leaving town. And I think he's leaving town because he sees the boat taking on water and wants out. Is that part of it? Is he upset that he's not the D coordinator? What do you think happened there?
So I think there's a couple things. And first of all, I went back and I wrote this for the State Journal, but I went back to mid-October because this is something that, in my opinion, is very rare, right? Because and you obviously spent a really long time in the league. You're around a lot of coaches. Very rarely do they not put up a united front, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was interesting because it was after the London game against the Giants. And if you remember early in the season, one of the chief criticisms of this defense was that they weren't playing aggressive in the back end. In fact, there would be plays where it was 3rd and 6 and you had guys, 9 yards off the line of scrimmage and giving up easy conversions. And so, and I'll read you the quote. Somebody asked, I can't remember who it was, but somebody asked Gray, why aren't you guys being more aggressive? Well, I know Coach Barry is going to be up here at the podium tomorrow. He's the architect and he's the defensive coordinator. So I know you'll give him those questions tomorrow, and he'll answer those, especially the schematic part. As far as the defensive back, we've got to be more aggressive ourselves and not sit there and wait for schematics or something like that to tell us what to do.
Ooh.
And when I heard that, I thought, this guy does not think Joe Barry knows what the hell he's doing. He's been a two-time defensive coordinator. He played in the league 9 years and went to 4 Pro Bowls. He's been coaching in the league for more than a quarter century. He's not going to stand up here and take the fall for something he doesn't believe in. So, but for him to flat out say, well, I know Joe Barry's going to be up here tomorrow. You can ask him. And we've got to do things regardless of what the schematics tell us, said everything you needed to know. So now fast forward to this week, you know, I don't know how much of that factored in, but I think your theory is a good one, that he's like, well, I'm not going to stay on a sinking ship. At the same time, I also think that, you know, I was talking to somebody over the weekend. I'm not 1,000% sure that the changes aren't done yet. Now, I would still say that I would be surprised at this point, since he didn't make a change, that they would change coordinators. But, you know, for example, there's still a lot of moving parts with coaching hires, right? There's a bunch of head coaches that haven't been hired. Steve Wilks, who is an interesting case study because obviously his time in Arizona did not go very well. But I would say that Arizona appears to be dysfunctional no matter who the coach is and no matter who the GM is. It's just a revolving door of weirdness out there. But he was pretty darn good in Carolina and managed to get a team that had nothing to play for to play for him. I would be curious if Matt LaFleur has at least had the thought cross his mind while he's sitting at his boys' basketball games or something. You know, maybe I should at least talk to Steve and see what he has to say. So, you know, I'm not predicting that there'll be changes now. Obviously, they'll have to fill the void created by Jerry's departure, but maybe it's not quite over yet.
How is this going to be received by the DBs, Jason? Because they loved them, didn't they?
Yeah, not well. The OG, incredibly well respected, and quite frankly, beloved. And I mean, again, we talked about this multiple times during the season. Like, that group was darn near mutiny against Joe Barry and the scheme. Now, we did credit Joe Barry for making some changes. How much of that was by his own hand or being forced to do so? I do give him credit because it appears that his players went to him with their concerns and he listened, which not all coaches do. So I give him credit for that. But, you know, from where I'm sitting, and I understand that that group, you know, kind of underachieved and had communication issues, but I think it's more likely that it was something else than it was, you know, Jerry Gray's coaching. But I would argue that he probably was the one who kept them together and prevented them from allowing things to get even uglier by saying, look, you guys have to be pros. You know, look, I played in this league. They had so much respect for him for that, that I'm sure he did more damage control than we'll ever know when things were getting really ugly with their feelings about the scheme and about the coordinator.
All right, Jason, we've played four corners on it long enough. With Aaron Rodgers and all the news that came out over the weekend of other teams.
Wait a minute. What news?
I would say the news that other teams are expecting a trade. Is that not news?
League sources believe. And I was talking to Waddle and Sylvie on our sister station, ESPN Chicago, yesterday. And I said this to them, and I'll say it to you guys. You guys have Adam on every week. He's a really smart guy. You know, I mean, I've known him since he was covering the Broncos in Super Bowl 32 and I was covering the Packers. And he doesn't, when he has something, he doesn't couch it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is the premier newsbreaker. Ian Rappaport's a buddy of mine. I really like him too, but Shefty's the guy. League sources believe the Packers, are ready to trade Aaron Rodgers. That to me, league sources believe. Not the Packers would. League sources say the Packers want to trade Aaron Rodgers. or league sources say Aaron Rodgers has told the Packers that he wants to play elsewhere. Like, other GMs in the league think the Packers are ready to trade Aaron Rodgers based on what? Did they talk to Goody? Like, here's my opinion. You guys can ask Adam this tomorrow. But again, when he has something, he doesn't, for lack of a better term, pussyfoot around. And that report to me was him knowing that he didn't have what he really wanted to have. I'm sure his boss is wanting some Aaron Rodgers content on Championship Sunday, and him putting it in phrasing that does not sound very firm. You would agree?
Yes.
You would agree?
Yeah. Well, because the caveat exists. Like, he said it everywhere he went, whether it was on McAfee yesterday, whether it was on ESPN's coverage on Sunday before all the championship games. The caveat is always, and this could change.
Yeah. So, and again, he is so good at what he does, and he has so much, I'm sure, pressure on him. His track record is, when he has something, he does not mess around. And I saw what he wrote. I listened to what he said. And I just don't, I thought that was not news. I thought that was, hey, I've got to talk about Aaron Rodgers, and this is the vibe around the league. That's very different than Goody's tired of his crap and he's ready to trade him. And if he had that, he would have gone with that. And so, you know, I want to be clear. I am not criticizing him at all. I just think that there's such an appetite. You think about how everything he says then feeds all the other programming. I just thought this was very clearly not something where he had what he really wanted to be able to report. And maybe there is that vibe, and maybe that comes to fruition. But I just keep going back to what I've said to everyone, every one of our shows, including ours. When it really comes down to it, when the moment arrives where Rodgers has to say, yep, I'm ready to be traded to the Jets or whatever it is, and the moment arrives that Goody has to sign the piece of paper that trades him to the Jets or wherever he goes, do either one of them really have the stones to do it? Because I was talking to somebody that works in the building yesterday about this. Like, you can stay in Green Bay, collect your $60 million, and if you don't win the Super Bowl, yeah, there's going to be disappointed people, just like there have been, but there's also going to be fall guys for you, right? Goody didn't do this. LaFleur didn't do that. We still haven't replaced Devontae, whatever. You go to New York, where Greeny is spending every morning for this, where Joe Namath is ready to unretire his jersey so you can wear it, where they have not been to a Super Bowl since Joe Namath took them there, what, 45 years ago? 50 years ago?
50 years ago.
I don't know about you, and maybe that's what he needs at age 39, but those expectations, as high as they are in Titletown, are a hell of a lot higher. And I know he's not friends with Russell Wilson, but I'm sure Russell Wilson enjoyed all the salary collecting that he did in Denver, but I can't imagine he enjoyed his experience being exposed, being washed up in a new place where they wanted him to be the savior.
All right. So then is Goody, if Goody doesn't have the guts to sign whatever paper that he would need to, Jason, then does he have the guts to actually do something to help Aaron Rodgers? Because to me, if you bring Aaron Rodgers back, like, this is what happened this past offseason. He decided to try to have the best of both worlds, of having Aaron Rodgers back and trying to build for a Super Bowl contender in 2025 and 2026. That's not the timeline. You have Aaron Rodgers now. You got to go out there. You got to be more aggressive. You got to do things. You got to be able to do more than just say, oh, well, we tried to get ex-free agent, or well, we tried to trade for Darren Waller, they just didn't want to do it, and point fingers elsewhere. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is coming back, don't waste my time as a fan, man. Like, then let's actually go for this. But if you don't want to go for it in 2023, then trade him away and build whatever your vision is.
Yeah, That's a very, you know, they should make that a sound graph. That was really good, Gabe.
I will.
I would just say this. I stopped watching Breaking Bad. I never made it to the end because, quite frankly, I'm a more of a Ted Lasso type show guy.
Sure.
There were no good guys on that show. But there, I remember before I stopped watching, and I think, I don't remember who says it, but the phrase is no half measures. I don't know if you guys remember that part, but it was basically a discussion of you're either all in or you're not. And they have been the kings of the half measure, mm-hmm. right? And I was talking, this is another thing. Like, it's really, I obviously love Waddle and Sylvie, and when they don't have Tauschon instead of me, I love them even more. But they, you know, it's interesting to get the Chicago perspective on this. And I think other teams throughout the league and fan bases still can't believe that they didn't keep Devontae Adams with Aaron Rodgers still playing at quarterback. Like, I know that that is probably the thing that I harp on more than anything else, but to have gone into this season without the best wide receiver in football, who just was a third-time first-team All-Pro, which is really hard to do, as Chewy knows, and for them to be where they are now, there are two distinctive marking points of how they have, if they wanted to maximize the Aaron Rodgers window, which is what Sylvie was talking about, picking Jordan Love, trading Devontae Adams. Neither one of those things get you anywhere close to maximizing having a Hall of Fame quarterback. And those, to me, not that Goody could ever bring himself to do this, because he is not Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf, I'll still remember standing at practice and him looking at Joey Jameson and saying, well, I effed up that pick. He always admitted he's wrong. I should have hired Andy Reid. I should have got Brett more weapons.
Yeah.
Goody doesn't do that.
No.
He will never in a million years say, I shouldn't have picked Jordan when I did. I shouldn't have traded Devontae Adams. I shouldn't have moved on from Jordy. I should have played him one more year. He could have helped us in 18. All that kind of stuff. You will never hear that from him.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Appreciate you going a little overtime with us today, but it was good stuff. And we look forward to hearing more on Wilde and Tausch coming up in a little under an hour and a half now.
Clock management, all my fault. Don't blame me.
No, you're the best. You bring value, Jason. Tons of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll dive into some of the things that he had to say, plus Jerry Gray. And again, I've just kind of reached, I really don't care what Rodgers does anymore. Like, to me, this is all on Goody. We'll dive into that coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once throw up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
When it really comes down to it, when the moment arrives, where Rodgers has to say, yep, I'm ready to be traded to the Jets or whatever. You don't know. And the moment arrives that Goody has to sign the piece of paper that trades him to the Jets or wherever he goes, do either one of them really have the stones to do it?
Strong stuff from Jason Wilde. If you happen to miss that conversation, you can download it, listen to it later, either as part of the entire show podcast at WisconsinOnDemand.com, or there is specifically a Jason Wilde page. We can catch everything that Jason says across all the shows on ESPN Wisconsin.
Goody's just got to figure it out. I'm telling you, you want to win a Super Bowl, you better put your seeds on the table with a guy across from you holding a hammer. That's how you win a Super Bowl, you know? If you're going to be like, let's do the safe stuff, you know, let's just be safe about this. It doesn't work. It doesn't flipping work. You got to make moves. You got to move and shake.
And so I think of,
you know, and
we just talked to, oh, go ahead.
But Gabe, to what Jason said, right? You lose Devontae Adams, mm-hmm. right? He's never going to say he screwed up,
yeah.
right? Where obviously Ron would.
And did.
You know what you do?
Multiple times.
You know what you do when you lose Devontae Adams? Go get another one.
Yeah.
Go get another one. So, or you're just going to plod along here like they've been doing since 2010.
I feel like I've been somebody who's tried to place some of the blame on Goody throughout the course of the season. You know, we've talked about Rodgers, we talked about LaFleur, and the general manager kind of gets ignored. And I think something just kind of dawned on me, because I am a, and I think this was ingrained for me from being a baseball player, from being a college baseball player at even, if, you know, just Division III level, whatever. And I've tried to explain this to you with baseball. You have to be so much more process-oriented, because if you go 0 for 4, you could hit, have four great at-bats, hit four rockets, but it goes right at somebody, and you're 0 for 4. But your process is good. Those results are going to come.
Yeah.
I think the Packers' process, like, is rotten. And yes, they had some success with a bad process in 2019, 20, and 21 when they won 13 games, but we're starting to see that process get exposed right now. That Goody's just kind of flying by the seat of his pants. Like, this dude, seriously, I don't care what Aaron Rodgers does at this point. If he comes back, great. If he doesn't, great. But if he does come back, then Goody, you got to put together a good plan.
Yeah, but
if Goody, he leaves, then put together a good plan. Like, it's on Goody. Like, to me, I've gotten to the point where it's all on Brian Gutekunst to put together a good plan. Whatever hand you're dealt, put together a good plan. Don't just go, oh, I decided to give him all this money. I got to fold now. No. This, to me, is all on Goody, and it's about trying to figure out what the hell your process is.
But you know the move that I laughed at the most, really, to myself this past year?
Sammy?
No. Well, I laughed, yeah. Well, it gave me a good chuckle, but that was early on, believing that he was going to come in and replace Devontae. But the move that made me laugh was when they picked up Abrams from the Raiders.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, look. He was a first-round pick. Look, I was the first one to the table. The dude sucks, bro. Okay? Go out and get someone that's good. But that's just like, ooh, wow. Because there were people that are like, maybe they can turn him around and make him into a good player.
Like Rasul Douglas.
Yeah.
Or
like Devontae Campbell. It's all about, and I said it before, it's all about reactive. They're so reactive. Be proactive. You know?
And
see things happening before they actually do.
There is a process of, for lack of a better term, luck. You know, I mean, Devondre Campbell, like if he really, Goody really thought Devondre Campbell was going to be an All-Pro in 2021,
yeah,
he would have signed him before June.
Yeah.
You know, if they thought, you know, so you're lucky that he was around. You're lucky that Rasul Douglas played the way he did after you picked him off of a practice squad. It's not like, oh, I've been waiting on this guy and now I'm going to finally make the move. You know, so you were lucky that those moves worked out. But not all of them are going to. Because chances are when you pick up a guy in June, when you pick up a guy off somebody else's practice squad in the middle of the season, chances are they're not going to be Pro Bowl and all pro caliber players.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Ashton, you too.
Hi.
Who's in charge of this team? Who's running the team? Who's in charge?
You know what, Chu?
Yeah.
That could be the problem.
Who's in charge? Because whoever's in charge, if I'm in charge of the Green Bay Packers, the first thing I'm doing today, the very first thing, is I'm pulling Jerry Gray in there and saying, Jerry, can you sit down in my office? No one knows that you're in here. I am not recording anything. Nothing. Why'd you leave? Shoot me straight.
Yeah.
Why did you leave? And my guess is he'd go on a litany of problems with this place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well-respected. Players love him. Much like Andy Reid, I loved him to death. And if Andy ever left, I would want to know why. Tell me. And then you start there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then get to the root of the problem. What is the problem here? No one knows what the problem is. Everyone thinks the problem is Aaron Rodgers, which is a huge problem.
100%.
But let's start fixing problems here. Instead of saying, well, there's no problems. I'm not wrong. I'm always right. You know, this and that. And my quarterback's calling out my head coach with plays here. And my DBs are ticked at the defensive coordinator. What is the problem? They're not going to be able to move forward until they figure out what the problem is. I just want to know who the damn leader of this team is and who's running the show.
We'll dive more into that coming up in a little bit, because I think that's a really... It's something that I think we all feared. And again, it goes into what I was trying to say about process earlier. But guys, I miss food. One of those foods I miss is pizza. If you don't know, I'm a soft food diet. Hopefully I get cleared off this soft food diet by Friday, which means I haven't been able to have Palermo's feet pizza, but that doesn't mean that's bad for me. Still good for you, because that means there's still plenty of Palermo's for you to go out at the freezer section at your local grocery store. Palermo's, they've been making great tasting frozen pizza and with so many great brands. Palermo's, Urban Pie, Scream and Sicilian, Connie's, and they have so many different brands within that. Like within Scream and Sicilian, they have individual pizzas. They have the regular Scream and Sicilian. They have the thin and crispy. They have the stuffed crust pizza. They have so many brands just within Scream and Sicilian. And that's not even talking about their neighborhood pizzeria or Connie's Pizza or the Urban Pies and all the different brands they have. If there is a specific type of pizza that you like, there's a really great chance that Palermo's makes it. And if they make it, Palermo's pizza is going to be delicious. I know you're going to love it. Trust me. Next time you're in the freezer section at your local grocery store, pick up some Palermo's pizza, because Palermo's is Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Wisconsin.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I just play this song on repeat.
It's a good song.
Until
Tuesdays.
Itchy. Until they actually make a decision about if Rodgers is gone and if this is it. He's just like, his voice is just so good.
Ooh, Aaron's?
No, Huey.
Huey's voice does not match the face or body. I don't know if I explained that properly, but...
Well, no, because I think that happens a lot in radio.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Seriously, it's happened to me 1,000 times, you know, where, oh, you look a lot different than I pictured you, because in radio...
Because of your voice.
It happened to me at the truck.
I thought you'd be taller.
It's happened to me at the truck. People are like, huh, not what I thought you'd look like. And I'm like, I'm sorry. My bad.
Because you don't... I mean, it's different now, I would say, because you can find pictures. You know, we post stuff on social all the time, and it's easier to find pictures of radio hosts, but... I mean, you get used to just listening. It's an audio medium, so you kind of form a picture of what somebody looks like in your mind off their voice, and a lot of times it never matches up. But yeah, I would agree with that. By the way, from earlier today on the Talk and Text line, Terry in the 920 said, Chewy is the Cliff Clavin of WKTI. Probably another reference that Ashton and Gabe don't either.
Cheers,
yes, of course I know Cliff Clavin.
The postal worker, right?
Yeah, Cliff is the postal worker. John Ratzenberger, his voice is in every Pixar movie. But yeah, he's got a lot of random knowledge, and then he goes and wins Jeopardy in one of the episodes.
Who,
so
me?
There, Terry. No, not you. Cliff. Cliff Clavin.
Cliff? He still does animated stuff?
Oh, yeah. His voice is in, like, every Pixar movie. Yeah.
Who? All right. Have you guys watched Cheers? Have you ever watched Cheers?
I have not watched...
Overrated.
I have not watched all of the episodes, but I've seen enough. I've probably seen about half of the episodes.
Like, I got a Norm I hang out with.
Yeah?
Yeah. He walks into the local establishment in Okachi Lake, and everyone yells Norm.
Norm!
But he doesn't look like Norm. But he got that name.
Yeah.
I mean, you're Norm.
If you're walking in, you're that regular guy.
I want to become a Norm somewhere. I'm not going to lie.
You're a hermit.
I am not a hermit. I'm sick of this.
Yes, you are.
I go places all the time.
He was just trying to explain to me, we are talking about heating bills in the state of Wisconsin that are astronomical. And he's like, I keep my house cold because I'm never there. And then I ask him, when do you typically leave the station? 2 o'clock. And you go to your apartment. What time do you go to bed?
8:30?
Yeah, I mean, Ashton.
You're there all the time.
Who's going to play with the My Little Ponies if you're not there to do it?
I have stuff that I do between 2 and 8.
For example?
In your apartment. I got things I do between 2 and 8. Sometimes it's at 3. Sometimes it's at 4:30. What the hell are you doing? Huh? Hello?
He disappeared again. I think you killed Ashton. Oh, man.
You really are clueless. When it comes to the world and being in it, you're probably the most clueless.
I mean...
Yeah. You don't do anything, Ashton. You don't golf.
Golf is boring. Sorry, Gabe.
I mean,
golf is... And I'm also not good at it.
Look, I feel 95% of people think golf is boring, so I'm not offended.
Do I bowl? I haven't in a while. I'm a good bowler, though.
You don't really go out.
I go out every week. I just go out... I do not go out or do anything during the weekdays. That's the main thing. Unless I have plans, I don't go out during weekdays.
So here's... Okay, you know what? I think you would really like pickleball.
I'm sure I would.
So I am going to... I want to start playing more. I haven't been able to play a lot in the pickleball league we have here because I've had to skip out on a bunch of Tuesdays because we've had high school basketball games, which, by the way, one coming up tonight. Our first girls basketball game for Catholic Memorial. Listen in. Pregame coverage will start at 6:45 right here on 94.5 ESPN. But I think you would be like, I think you'd be a really good pickleball partner. He's got a good wingspan.
I'm great at
tennis. He used to play baseball. He used good hand-eye coordination.
I'm great at tennis, yeah.
He wears glasses.
I can take him off. I can see without him.
Not when I play pickleball.
I can get some rec specs.
Let me just say this. I would destroy you guys.
Who's your partner?
Whoever. It doesn't matter.
Okay, we have to.
No.
Me and Gabe versus you and Jen.
Because the only thing that's driving me to do this is to destroy you, but I just.
You couldn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
No. No. But I play a different brand of pickleball.
What the hell does that mean? There's one brand of pickleball. It's pickleball.
I think I know what he's saying.
It's called dick pickleball. Okay. Can't say that.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
I am the world's biggest. But I don't care if you're 85 years old. There's one thing I aim at. If you're a male.
It's the Richard.
I respect that. You're going to lose. I learn how to play this game, you're going to lose.
So here's the problem with pickleball, though, because I saw this trending over the weekend. Like, there was, I don't know if it was like a professional pickleball league or professional pickleball tournament, but they called a point against someone, so they lost a point because he approached the net too aggressively.
There's officials in pickleball?
Sounds hoity-toity to me.
Yeah, that sounds weak.
Yeah. I watched the video 6,000 times trying to figure out what exactly he did wrong. And apparently he came to too aggressive of a jump stop once he got up to that line by the net.
It had to happen in Florida.
It was unbelievable. I couldn't...
Really?
What are we talking about here? What are we doing? It's not like he hit the ball aggressively at someone. He approached the net too aggressively.
Aggressively.
Yeah, it's a real sport. But I want to play it more. Back to Gutekunst, back to Rodgers, back to the Packers. In 2 minutes, Jen Gabe and Chewy.